So this I just came out with a little booklet about all the shilas of the corona related shilas. Very interesting. All the corona virus. So you know the shilas are, you know, like wearing masks on Shabbos. On psalmim on Matz Shabbos if you don't have the, if you can't smell properly. You know all those very many shilas. So beginning, he brings in this coronavirus shilas. It's a shilas hamitzuz b'mei corona. Very interesting booklet. It's got a few hundred questions and answers. They're very interesting. So at the beginning, so the questions are all very interesting. The psokim, he speaks a lot about God minyanim as well. Looks like an etzol is still. So at the beginning, he brings an interesting story. He brings a very interesting story at the beginning. And I saw this before. So he says like this. He says that there was a gentleman who was 83 years old who was not feeling well, and he had some symptoms as well. So the doctor said, not sure why I can tell you, to, you know, not sure. It was getting worse and everything, and it eventually ended up going on the doctors. I don't know where this shaila happened, where this story happened. I don't know if it was in America or Netzol. I doubt it was Netzol. And this 83-year-old, he then had to go he needed oxygen. He needed oxygen. And however the wherever he was, the medical equivalent of an NHS wouldn't be able to help him. He had to go private, and in order to go private, he had to pay an absolute fortune. And it was just for a few hours. It was an oxygen. Eventually, Baruch Hashem, he got much better. He managed to get out of the hospital, and everything was fine. Eventually, a few weeks later, he got a bill, and the bill was $27,000. Right, so I'm thinking, maybe America, I'm not sure where it was. I'm not sure, so it was, so he got this extraordinary, unreal bill of thousands of dollars for this auction, the hospital, the private care that he got, and he burst out crying. Somebody then asked him, I want a grandchild, asked him, well, you know, why are you crying? I mean, you know, it's a lot of money, but why are you crying? He said, no, I'm not crying about the money. It's just that if my oxygen and breathing for a few hours is worth $27,000, imagine how much my breathing, how much my breathing is worth over my 83 years of my life. You know, that's how much it's worth. You know, imagine how much you can do in all those 83 years of my life. If that's how much it's financially worth, you know, how much ruchnis, how much maturity you can bring down, you know, how much really life is worth. And that's what you learned from this episode. And whether he paid the bill or not, I suppose the rest is history, as they say. Right. I was very busy today in school, but I did have a few minutes to do a bit of research. Literally, just a few minutes. It was a bit busy, but I looked into the cities that had walls. So I looked London. When was the London wall built? Just, you know, in terms of so again, Yeshua ben Nun talking about, you know, the times of Yeshua ben Nun. That's when we look at, you know, that's how we establish if a city should read on the 15th or on the 14th, the discussion that we had yesterday. Shushan Purim is the 15th of Adar, we read the Megillah, and any other place, the 14th. So we're looking at the places that had walls in the times of Yeshua ben Nun. Yeshua ben Nun was just between 2,500 and 3,000 years. So that was a walled city. Yerushalayim was a walled city at that point, as well as other cities we mentioned yesterday. But I looked up, well, what about London? So when was the wall in London built, just to give a bit of an idea? 1,000 years ago? 800 years ago? 2,000 years ago? 500 years ago? 500 years ago. Okay, the first wall, apparently some remains are still there. Apparently it was built in the 3rd century. In the 3rd century, which is quite ancient. Approximately, yeah, the Romans. Yeah, so there were some walls are still there, you must know, probably driving past.
If you go by London Wall in the city, they've still got a little bit of the wall there.
Right, well, that's 3rd or 4th century, right, Romans. Very good. Any tourists go there ever? Nah. You're driving apart, yeah. I'm saying you're driving.
There's a museum.
There's a museum there. Oh, where is that?
Yeah, Museum of London.
Museum of London? Where's that about? Right, there you go, fine, we've got the expert here. So very good, so both sides, so that's 3rd, so it gives a bit of an idea how civilized Klal Yisrael were, and how far ahead the Yiddish civilization, how far ahead it was to any other cultures. Yeah, so London. Yeah, they started building their walls in the 3rd century in Yerushalayim already. For hundreds of years, at the wall already. Hundreds of years, Klal Yisrael had walls around their cities already. Now, other cities in Europe, because it is a tshuva of Tshuva Me'ava, which I saw today in very mamash quickly. Tshuva Me'ava brings a message that was in Prague. Some Yidden kept 2 days of Purim in Prague, with a Messiah and a tradition that Prague had a wall written in times of Shmuel, and that's why they read 2 days. So Tshuva Avo discusses this, and he denies it, and he says, yes, there's such a tradition, there's such a Messiah. However, he says, this is wrong, because, yes, there were Yidden already in the times of Yeshua Ben-Nun, there were Yidden, there was a settlement already in Prague. However, the wall was built here again about the 4th century, approximately, and therefore it does not warrant a Kirsa Megillah on the 15th. So, whilst, yes, there was settlements, but there was no walls until quite a few hundred years later, and therefore one doesn't really mean it. So, it turns out, according to my very, very, very limited research that I did, that there's no genuine Shushan Purim in Chutz La'aretz, although the Levush does bring it down. There's some questions about, but it looks like nowadays, as far as where Yidden live nowadays, I don't think there's any place that really wants a... Am I exaggerating a bit? I don't think there's any Jewish communities that Chutz La'aretz that read on the 15th. Perhaps some have a Sofeg as well, on Sofeg on the 15th a little bit, but... a suffix, but certainly not Meikar Adin, certainly not Meikar Adin. There's no reading on the 15th. I also want to bring one more a very interesting chumah before we go ahead and move on. There's an interesting chumah of the bris, the briskas. Yeah, today we should mention the briska chumras. The in brisk and Rabbeinu Shvinkel. I heard this from a nephew of Rabbeinu Shvinkel, Hoshiva of Mir. He told me that there were some people had chumah in the olden days, that's before dating back before 1967, where Yerushalayim was reunited, 1967, right? Six-Day War, 67, right? So then people read before 67. Let's figure this out. So a lot of people read on the 14th, because it was not within the walls of Yerushalayim, and the walls was completely Arab. So there was no, and then when they on 67, when Yerushalayim was united again, so a lot of people weren't sure if now it's poshut that you read on the 15th. So therefore, that, of course, nowadays it's universal minhag in Yerushalayim, they read on the 15th. However, there are some machmirim that are not 100% sure that it's really considered a kind of united Yerushalayim, or as far as you go, as far as this Messiah is concerned, and perhaps therefore they feel that it needs a reading on 14th as well. So there's a uncommon, foreign, extreme chumrah to read on the 14th Yerushalayim as well, based on this vacuum of pre 67, as to whether the Yerushalayim was outside of the walls and then it should have been read on the 14th, and perhaps that continues now as well. It's a bit of a Nirin, that's what we discussed yesterday. Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. It's a good question. Maybe there was areas that couldn't be seen. I'm not sure. Maybe if there is a absolute split, and there's because of the Arab borders and everything, but no Yidden could enter. So maybe that's considered that Nirin doesn't count. It's a different city. It's a different place altogether. So I'm not sure. I was wondering about that as well. Where does that come from? It's an interesting shadow. Okay, that's just to complete the discussion of yesterday. Okay, Rabbi said tonight we're up to Simon Tovresh Peches Sif Hei. Sif Hei is very, very, very complex, and it's really very relevant in Yerushalayim and Yidden. The common minhag in Eretz Yisrael that people go from one, Yerushalayim, you keep 2 days Purim. You go one day, you go to Yerushalayim, and Yudalad Yom Bnei Brak and Tezvav Yerushalayim. So you make most of both, you dance in both chasnas, as it were. So you've got to know when you really make Kaddin have Purim. Because what needs to be emphasized as a essential background information to Sif-A is that unlike 2 days Yom Tovim, when it comes to the establishment, to establish as to whether you are Shushan Purim Yid or you are regular Purim Yid, it doesn't go with the same qualifications. Rather, the way it works is simply where are you actually on that particular day? That means that if you are, it goes according to where you are, and not if you are Ben Yerushalayim or Ben Bnei Brak, or Ben Ramat Beit Shemesh, or a Ben, it doesn't go like that. In Chutz La'aretz, for some interesting reason, 2 days Yom Tov, it does go like that. But this sugya of here is very different. And this sugya of keeping 14th or 15th is, where are you now? Where are you on the morning of Purim? And that's how he's establishing. And therefore, this discussion over here is very important. Seif Hey. We are now. Simon, Tov, Reish, Peis, Ches, Seif Hey. Ches, Seif Hey. Page Kufnun Beis, just before page 304. Okay, Ben Ir, a person it's a quotation of the Rambam. Ben Ir Sholach Lekach went to unwalled city, a walled city, or Ben Kach Sholach Le, or vice versa. So you live in a walled city and you went to a non-walled city, or vice versa. If your intention was to return to your original place, and Bizman Kia, at the times of the reading, when he's akev lechaz, we got held up. You stopped for some reason. You didn't make it back. Lechaz, I didn't return. Koyre kim koyim, you'll read as your current place where you are now. If your intention was to return, but your intention was to return after the reading. If your intention was to return after the reading, you'll read like the place that you are now. Before the Ramah. I just realized I made a mistake. Kimkoima means like the place you are, like Kimkoima, like his own place, like his real place. Excuse me about that, apologies. So again, if the intention was to return to your original place, Pizmankia, then when it's like Kimkoima, you read like in your. Like your real place. You should read like in your real place. So say you got held back on, well, whichever way it is, really. You got held back, but you really wanted... Yes, for instance, like that. Let's go with this scenario. You wanted to make it back to your Shalim. You didn't make it back. Yeah. So really, you should be reading. Your real chiyuv is... The let's do the 15th. So that's what he's saying now. The halacha is always going to be according to based on Alois Hashacha. Why are you in Alois Hashacha? So say what's the case you're asking? Okay, you're in Bnei Brak, and you're going to Yerushalayim. And now your intention is. Your intention is to go back to Yerushalayim. What's your intention is to go back to where are you from? Nebrak. From Nebrak. Your intention is to go back to Bnei Brak. No. You are from Yerushalayim. The point being is if you are from the original place and you intend to return to that place and you got held back, not in your regular place. So the halacha is you are. Because your intention was, and you're just an oinus, you're still going to go with your original place. As opposed to, if your intention was not to return, then your intention was only to return after the Kiyas HaMegillah, then you should read with the place where you are now. Lemaisa, I'm going to just interrupt myself at this point. The Mishnah Berurah says, this is the quotation of the Rambam, but every single point that the Rambam says is actually b'machloikas shnuya, it's actually machloikas. So this is not a very wide machlokes, and depends very much on the scenario. When was the intention to return? Everything. All the cases are open for discussion. But that's what we discussed. What we just said now is the opinion of the Rambam, which is the opinion of Shulchan Aruch. But the Maaseh, everything is a machlokes. The Rambam continues. Vimu b'amidbar, oy b'sfinah. If you're out in a desert or in a boat, kore b'yom yudalad. You're going to read on the 14th. K'mayr over olim like the rest of you. Now that's an interesting aruch. If you are in a how should we call it? An unaffiliated place. Is that the wrong word? If we're in a neutral location, that's it. Neutral location. You're in a plane. You're in a boat. You are in. So what are you going to do then? Even if you may feel that you're connected to somewhere, to your Shanaim or whatever you may feel, but unless you're going to read on the 14th, so that's really relevant. If somebody's flying, and maybe your Shanaim eat, and you plan to go back to your Shanaim, and your heart is in your Shanaim. And you're flying, so fine. So you're all now disconnected. Says Shulchan Aruch, im hu b'midbar, if you're in a desert, if you're in a boat, k'rbeim yudalad, you're going to read on the 14th, k'moy roi v'olam, like the rest of the world, like majority of the world. In other words, unless you're literally in Yerushalayim or in a place which reads on the 15th, unless you're really literally physically there, then you're going to be reading according to Ramah. Yes, correct, correct. If you are in a neutral space, if you are in a neutral space, then intention will not make a difference, indeed. Yep, that will be according to Malach, absolutely. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's what the Ramah says. Yeah. Okay, see, Vav goes into what's known generally as the Purim HaMeshulash. Again, this is something we are not so, doesn't happen in...
This year.
Well, You missed it. Purim HaMeshulash. Yep. If a person is in the desert, and he therefore has to read on the 14th, suddenly, on the night to the 15th, he finds his way home. He found the right camel that found the truck right home, which his home happens to be in Yerushalayim. So on the 15th, he finds himself in Yerushalayim. Does he need to read on the 15th again, Mikradin? And therefore, he's a person who's got obligation both on the 14th and on the 15th. I do not know the answer to that interesting question. It could be, I don't know. It could be. Could it be possible a person has got an ikachiyuv on both days?
I've done that.
Yeah, you think that's the, yeah? So you have to make a din. You make a bracha on the 15th as well, if you read with a bracha. I'm saying, if you're yotze with a bal kol, then it's fine, but would you make a bracha on the 15th as well? Could be, I don't know. It's a very interesting question. It could be the answer is yes. It could be the answer is yes. I don't know. Yeah. See, Vav is Purim HaMeshulash. Yom Tes Vav Shechal Yos B'Shabbos. The 15th of Adar falls on Shabbos, which is this year, Tavshin Pei Aleph. Note, the 14th can never fall on Shabbos. So in Chutzlot Yishal, it can't happen. 14th of Adar can't fall on Shabbos, but 15th can. So now, 15th falls on, what do we do? So Ein Koren HaMegillah B'Shabbos. Megillah's Esther, which is meant to be read on the 15th, is not read on Shabbos. Why not?
Carrying?
Yeah. Very good. That, we'll get to that. So the Pashtos, the Mishtabur said, the Pashtos reason is because the with regards to the Megillah is because of the general rule that you may end up carrying it. Very, very... logical that you're going to end up carrying the Megillah on Shabbos. Like we find, you can't blow the shofar. Shabbos, you're going to end up carrying the shofar, the Dalet Minim. Similarly, also the Megillah, very logical indeed. You can't read the Megillah on Shabbos. We'll see soon that's a machloikis, but that's the Shulchan Aruch holds. En koyin haMegillah b'Shabbos. Elo, ma'aktim likoyis b'erev Shabbos. We're going to read the Megillah on Erev Shabbos like we do. Here in Chutz La'aretz, we're going to read the Megillah on Friday. And any other place in Yerushalayim as well. You read the Megillah on Friday. The Goyvin Mois, the Matones Levyonim, the Goyvin Mois, Matones Aniyim, and Mechalki Mois and Babiyom, you're going to give on Friday as well. The reason being that there is an intrinsic connection between Kiyas HaMegillah and Matones Levyonim. It always go together. So Matones Levyonim, anyway, you can't really give out Matones Levyonim on Shabbos anyway. So you're going to give out the Matones Levyonim together with Kiyas HaMegillah on Friday. Uviyom Shabbos, with regards to Shabbos, Motzin Shnei Sforim, you take out the Sforim, V'sheni Korin V'Yavar Amalek, and you're going to read V'Yavar Amalek. V'Yom Al-Anisim, you're also going to say Al-Anisim on Shabbos. V'Yinoisim, so the Spurim, however, with regards to the Sud, the meal, the Purim meal, Ad Yom Echo B'Shabbos, you'll do that on Sunday. So again, Friday, what do you do? Megillas, Matones Levyonim. Shabbos, you do Al-Anisim. You don't do Al-Anisim on Friday. You do Al-Anisim on Shabbos. Sunday, you do the Suda and the associated Mishloach Lamonos, which is associated with the Suda. So it's literally 3 days through this poem. However, this is not so poshut, because the Maral Bach, who lived in Yerushalayim, said he had a mandate to paskin differently. He did. The Maral Bach quoted in Sivkot Yud Ches. I'm reading this. Vine Maral Chaviv Herich Loichiach the Bablish Lono in Soivakein. he disagrees. He says, no, v'dayto shasuda b'Shabbos. The suda can't be on Shabbos. What's wrong with doing the suda on Shabbos? What's wrong? So it will be the suda's Purim on Shabbos. Yeah, ein ma'avin simcha b'simcha. All right, okay, I hear. And you're saying that this should be, yeah, the suda simcha, no, yeah. The monos, if you're well organized, all you're going to do is you're going to bring the shlach monos before Shabbos, and then it's anyway, what's the shlach monos, yeah? Again, this was, we're going to see the real shlach monos is really to be part of the suda. It's really part of the meal. So you give a nice chicken, that's really what shlach monos is meant to be like. Not this chunk, the chunk that we give out now, you know, that ends up on the day after in the gift box. You know what I'm saying? So it's not. So the, in the olden days it was, you know, the chicken and
yeah, but
you give it before. No, you give it before Shabbos. You're right. According to Maral Chaviv, you Maral Bach, you give it before Shabbos, and you're generally you're marking it. So you're not giving it to you before Shabbos, but you're not enjoying it on Shabbos. You have it on Shabbos. It is a good question, because I'm also bothered by your question. Because really, if I give you the Mashlach Monos on Friday, can I be Yotzi the mitzvah by giving the Mashlach Monos on Friday with the intention that I'm only giving it to you on Shabbos? Does that really work?
Yeah.
So according to Malbach, it works. But I understand the question. The question is, but it's according to him, therefore, you do the Sudas Purim on Shabbos and Mishlach Manas on Friday leading to Shabbos, kind of. That's the matter. And that's what he said, that's what the meaning was. But also came Maisib Yerushalayim. He said, that was the meaning of Yerushalayim, says the Maral. Chaviv, and he was entitled to say that, because again, he lived in Yerushalayim. Now, this is a big problem, because carry on, the Mishnah continues. V'chenu gedas ha-mogen avroma kom nesan, v'tshuva z'noid y'biuda, who lived in Prague, but still, he had questions. V'hina p'chodosh oysa letal ta megillah b'Shabbos. No, 1 second, he said, p'chodosh, you're not allowed to carry the Megillah on Shabbos. Me'ach she'korim bo, he said, it's mukta. You don't read the Megillah on Shabbos, it becomes mukta. V'al kam ha'choynim choykin olav matirin. So that remains a very big machloek. The Meister Rabbi say, pardon? The Megillah on Friday. He said, yeah. Yeah, no, so he wants to say that perhaps you're going to do you're right, nobody holds you should read the Megillah on Shabbos, but he said some say that it's not Mukta. He goes a step further and he said that it's Mukta. But you're right, nobody actually holds you should read the Megillah on Shabbos. Correct. So the Machloikas is with regards to the Suda, is a Suda on Sunday or on Shabbos. One because of machlokes. Another machlokes is regards to the machlokes also give shlach manas. Do you give the shlach manas on Sunday, or do you give them on Friday for Shabbos? So that's quite a very wide ranging machlokes. And of course, going to be all the opinions. And Purim is busy as it is. On a Friday Purim is even more busier. And if you want to, pardon, most people do everything. Most people will try to be able to all the opinions. You have a Suda on Shabbos, which is anyway Shabbos Suda, you just make it a bit more feilich. And you make a Suda's Purim on Sunday as well. Sure, the Ramah says you should. Yeah, so Shulchanoch. So people will have a Suda on Sunday as well. Okay, now, he said that's the minig. I don't know what. Yeah. 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 Anyway, wouldn't. Yeah, that's right. Don't say tachnun on Sunday. We don't say tachnun. Oh, that's a good question. I forgot. Don't know about tachnun on Sunday for us. Good question. I don't know.
Yeah.
You really don't know about that. Interesting question. What about tachnun on Sunday? We have to find out about that. Really, really good shaila. What do you think? For Sunday, for us. But it's not really Purim for them either. It is. They do. I gather. Pardon. On normally, you're right. Normally, we don't say Tachnun when it's Shushan Purim. Of course, we don't, because it's still the days of. However, here it's not Tezav. It's already the subsequent day. And then exactly, that's the eight, absolutely. Hamafosh Bayom, that's absolute. Hamafosh Bayom, we'll finish off with Siv Zayin. Hamafosh Bayom, somebody goes onto the sea, Vayotze B'Shiro, on a convoy, traveling. Ve'einoy Moitze Megillah Lo'elichimoy, he has no Megillah with him. You can read it, B'Yud Gimel, or B'Yud Beis, you can read it on the 13th, you can even read it on the 12th. Hoy Bechados, you can even read it on the 11th, that's the famous Mishnah in Megillah, P'loy Bocha without the Bocha. If you cannot read it on the 11th, 12th, or 13th, you know what you can do? You can read even for Rosh Chodesh Adar, you can start reading it. That is the minhag, that if you're unable to read it on the 11th, 12th, 13th, you can actually read it from the Rosh Chodesh onwards. This is an enormous chiddush, because, of course, let's say a person is unable to do Shokotadet Minim, yeah? He can't do it on the 15th. He can't. He's very busy, you know. He's busy. So you're going to say, you know what, don't worry about it. Do it on the 13th, do it on the 10th. Do it on Rosh Chodesh. Of course not. It's crazy. It's not the Zman yet. Here we are learning that, yes, of course, the Ikar Zman of the Kesem Megillah is on the 14th, 15th. But the Mishnah is Mechadish, the Mishnah, that the Zman of the Megillah can also, on the extreme circumstances, the Zman is ready before that as well. Which, of course, is an enormous Chodesh. Why is it different than other? It looks like from Rosh Chodesh onwards already, Mishnah Nechlas, Adam, Ma'ab, Mezim Chodesh is already there. It enters already the world, the sugya of Purim, and therefore on the extreme circumstances you can and you should read the Megillah from Rosh Chodesh onwards already, and that's the minhag. I've never seen anybody doing that. I don't know why. Have you ever seen anybody reading the Megillah on the 10th, on the 5th? I don't know. I believe very much in line with what you are asking. I would argue, if he really suspects he's not going to read it on the 15th, by all means, he should read it on the 15th earlier. I think that's the Chiddush of the Shulchan Aruch. I think I would argue that's what he says. I think so. But I've never seen anybody doing it, but it would seem that's the halacha. If you do get the Megillah later, if you on the 14th Sunday you get, oh wow, look, I've got a Megillah over here, you should read it on the 14th. Even if you read it on the 13th, you suddenly, wow, you get the Megillah on the 15th, you should read it on the 15th. You should read it and you should not make a bracha. Rabbi said, to summarize what we learned this evening, we spoke about the concept of the 15th to the 14th, if a person is in Yerushalayim, Bnei Brak, so there's various opinions on that. The most what's important to remember is that it's primarily established where he is at this stage and not where his normal habitat is. We spoke about Tezvah falling on Shabbos. Then, Shulchan Aruch holds that you read the Megillah on Friday, Matanos Levyonim Friday, and the Suda is on Sunday. We learned that the Ma'al Bach is Cholik. We also learned about the Mefarash Bayom. He has the opportunity and the chance to read from 13th, 12th, 10th early as well, if he feels that he's not going to be able to read the Megillah on his right time. Right, and we'll finish off the Simon Mitzvah tomorrow evening. I wish you a very good evening, Abba Yisrael.